This is Joe, and you're listening to the O Gatekeeper podcast, where every week I'll be talking to my people about what gets them up in the morning, what their purpose is, and why they make things. Hopefully, it will inspire you to do the same. Thank you. You can get episodes early and without advertisements over at ogatekeeper.com, as well as weekly bonus episodes, playlists, and my Joe and Friends series. Enjoy. This week, it's with a great pleasure I get to introduce one of my favorite artists to ever touch the microphone and other things. His name is Danny Brown. How you doing?
I'm great, man.
Looking like you're in somewhere very fucking sunny.
Yeah, I'm in Texas at home.
Oh, nice. Feeling good?
Yeah, just did a nice little 2 hours at the gym. Now I'm back home, you know?
You've been at the gym too.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like once you get sober, and I'm in my 40s, man. So I got tired of waking up, and it's taking me fucking 2 hours just to stand up straight.
Yeah, but we did earn that pain, you know. We had a good time
Yeah, definitely.
before then. Yeah, I just joined the gym about 4 weeks ago. I was like, not there's something about, I don't know what it's like in the States, but like the UK gyms are like, the music's fucking terrible.
Oh yeah, the data music was terrible at the gym. I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
I feel like you gotta have terrible music at the gym so you can pay attention to your workout. Because us as musicians, if the music is too good, you might just be sitting there listening to chord progressions and figuring out, you know what I'm saying, the sequence of that song instead of trying to have that muscle and mind connection, you know?
Yes.
Well, I'm good. They had some dubstep on today. I was pumping. You know, feel me? But I
Dubstep.
started in December. I started in like December. I'm down 40
Okay.
pounds. I'm down 40
Whoa.
pounds. I'm like, damn near fucking, I'm under 10% body fat. You know what I'm saying? A six pack is
Really?
cracking. Yeah, but
Fuck.
you know, I'm skinny as fuck now. So I'm trying to put on some weight and some muscle because it's say like, you know, six packs on a skinny guy is like a fucking boobs on a fat chick. So I'm trying to get my weight up now. You know, I'm eating 5 times a day now. I'm actually about to cook some lunch right after this.
Sick. Well, I've got boobs, no six pack. I'm about 40% fat, but I'll tell you what, I'm
I
fit.
was there too. I'm telling you, I was there too, man. It's just consistency. That's really all it is.
Yeah, our bassist fucking sobered up. He had like a real meltdown,
Oh.
and he had to take some time out from the band, and like, really take some time out. So I didn't fucking see him. I spoke to him on the phone every day because like he was in a bad place, and I love him. But I was like, fucking, you do your thing. We'll just carry on, and when you're ready, come back.
Yeah,
So
type.
like. He came back and he's like fucking ripped, and
Yeah,
he's got pecs and shit. I'll show you before and after. It's insane. It's like,
that's fire. I recently started back smoking weed, I want to say, in like October. So, but it happened by mistake. But it actually worked out in recovery for me. I feel like we're working out. So.
Well, weeds apparently, I think, yeah, Kenny, I think Kenny was saying it was good for like workout.
I think it actually helps, to be honest. You know, so. But to me, it's the drinking, man. I can't. That's the everything. You know what I'm saying? But the drinking, that's top tier. That's S tier.
Is that the, is it that's the gateway for you, right?
I wouldn't say the gateway. That's the end all. Yeah,
Oh, really?
it's the final boss. That's my King Cooper. That's the Bowser of my life.
Whoa,
But.
that's interesting. I've never heard anyone say that before. Booze is the one that really fucks you up the most.
Hell yeah, but I think also too, you know, over there, y'all got a totally different culture with drinking than what we have here. So I think a lot of alcoholism over there probably normalized where y'all don't even realize.
No, it, yeah, like, yeah. Like, my mom was like buying me, getting me and my friends beers when I was like 13.
Yeah, see, that's crazy. That's insane.
I mean,
That's not normal.
we weren't like getting fucked up on vodka and shit until we were
I
like
know, but
16.
that's still That's still not normal
No,
in American culture. In
no.
American culture, though.
But there's
You'll start
weird.
smoking weed. You'll start smoking weed before everything else.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also a very different weed where you are.
Yeah, it's pretty much
It's,
legal at this point, you know.
yeah, it's also fucking potent stuff. Fuck me up.
Yeah. It's definitely different than the weed we had as teenagers, where you just smoke with your friends and giggle and then eat some KFC and shit after. No, this ain't that. This weed damn near like doing heroin sometimes. But the thing is that I love about this weed culture now is that so much of the information is out there to know what you're actually smoking. So you don't have to smoke the fucking 30% THC. You can, you know, get you some nice little sativa, you know, 17%, you know, once you learn about it. And then to me, I look at it different too. Because I treat it different now. I'm not just sitting around smoking weed all goddamn day playing video games. I use the weed for something. You know what I'm saying? After a workout, I study a lot now. I'm into, you know, just, I think spiritual awakening type shit. So I might, you know, smoke a joint and fucking read a chapter of a book. I use the high for something. You know what I'm saying? If I
Interesting.
smoke, I'm gonna go write. I'm gonna go write a song. I'm gonna go journal. I'm gonna, you know what I'm saying? I'm just not sitting around smoking, doing nothing. And that's the one thing that I think I discipline myself with.
And with when you say spiritual awakening, how did that come about for you?
I think, I mean, I will say in rehab, because in rehab I had a spiritual advisor that was real into like numerology and, you know, the whole the Kundalini shit and, you know, Rosicrucian shit, just all just and just was showing me a bunch of different shit and gave me a shit ton of books too when I left. And I read a lot of those books while I was on tour, and I think it just was a gradual progression. I think once you clear your mind, you know, substances and shit and partying every fucking day, you start to question shit, and then you start looking for answers, and the books got the answers, you know. And we had a meditation too, a meditation class there as well, and I got really deep into that, to where I when I got out, I was like, I gotta find this meditation group to join one of those, you know. And I did, but it was pretty weird. So I just
Well, the
been,
group was weird.
yeah. So I just been, you know, on my own spiritual journey, my progression, you know.
Do you meditate on your own at home?
Every day, every day.
I find it
Sometimes
really
three times a
difficult,
day.
man. What kind of
Yeah.
meditation do you?
I mean, it's guided. I'm doing some
So,
guided, but I'm also just now getting into like the chants and shit. The vocal, you know, the vocal meditations and shit, you know, using your vowels and stuff like that. So I'm just not starting to get into that. I mean, yesterday was, I see what happened was I get real deep into it where I get to the point where I can damn near do like 30 minutes and then I fall off some type of way. That's how I know it'd be like when I'm getting to my spiritual powers or some devil or something that come and just derail everything that got going on. So now I'm just back. I did 20 minutes yesterday. Today I had a really shitty meditation session today, but I was really getting ready for the gym. But I'm gonna take another shot at it later on today around 6 o'clock.
It sounds like you're really on top of things though. Like in terms of like you understand like, oh, it was a shit one because I was getting ready for the gym. It's not like, oh yeah, I just had a bad session, I don't know why. You're like
Yeah,
you kind
no.
of you're processing things well.
Yeah, sometimes you just can't quiet your mind, you know. But one big thing that I really learned, man, because I've struggled, I guess, with just breathing. Sometimes I would find myself just holding my breath, and then I don't even realize that I'm damn near about to pass out. And I guess that's like some type of anxiety or something like that. But I learned that since I've been meditating, and since I've been not really like I would go on social media, but when I do, I go on it, and then I just spend some time on it. Then I don't go on it for like a month. Like I went on Saturday night just bored, but I'm probably not gonna. I just delete all that shit off my phone. I don't look at no social media, no nothing. And I haven't been having those holding my breath anxiety attacks since I've been meditating and since I've been not really involving myself with, I guess, any shit that I consider to be low vibration for me, you know?
I love that. I find that fascinating because you like obviously as an artist, as an outsider, looking at your journey, like without going into the details of your fucking life, but like just as a like musically, your choices of creative decisions and the things that I pick up on lyrically and the people you work with, producers and shit, it's always been on like an edge of you always seem to be wanting to move forward. Never look back, as in repeat yourself stylistically, or you just always seem like one of those people, you know, that like, you know, like a Bowie type, where
And
you're like,
No, totally. I
And like that low vibration,
totally
and that low
agree.
vibration thing, you know what I mean? Is like, is that always like you always just like not looking to, you're just always looking to better yourself and move forward and evolve spiritually. And it, now you're not on the drugs, you realize that that's probably what you were looking for the whole time, musically and personally.
I mean, I guess I am self-aware in that aspect, but yeah, you hit the nail on the head, man. But I do feel like a lot of my music was low vibrational for a long time because I was living a low
Really?
vibrational ass life. You know
Right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And obviously now, like with the music that I'm making now, obviously things gonna change, you know, lyrically. But I think this is the most fun I've had making music since I was a fucking teenager and not getting paid for it. So I'm happy as fuck right now making
Yeah.
music, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting about, I'm trying to think of a song that were like that you're referring to as like low vibration, which probably in my life changed my life. Because the thing is,
I make it.
you're speaking truths, whether
But
they're
I'm
like
saying,
fucked up or not. You know, like,
I
but
make it.
was that sniffing cocaine?
Yeah, shit like
Like,
that,
what
you
tune's
know?
that? What song's that?
Blueberry, Dr.
Blueberry, that's it.
Creaker.
I mean that's not low, that's low vibrations if you
It
talk
is.
about it, like,
It's
but
low
like,
vibration, and I rhyme nigga with every bar. That's really hard for white people to sing along to.
I mean
But
I haven't tried it, not yet anyway.
I would say songs were just like overly sexual. Like songs I've made entire songs about eating pussy. Like, come on. And then I got a my daughter comes to the show and I'm sitting there to, playing shit. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's all natural, Danny.
I know.
But
But
that's
I look at it as a gradual progression. So for you to be able to accept the music that I'm making now and to see where I came from, that's, you know, that's a journey I feel like for any, that's a human evolution of anything, you know?
Yeah, and I think one of the things is if you build a journey as an artist like you have, hopefully like I have, definitely not as
Yeah,
successfully as
what are
you,
you
but
talking about?
not in
Oh,
terms of
man.
like pushing yourself in new directions. I don't think so. Like you start when you started, there was already a sense of going at what when I started listening to you, sorry, it probably wasn't when you started, obviously. There was always already a sense of like, I'm not fucking, you know, I'm not your regular whatever. You know? And like that you're always pushing something like, you know, it's almost avant-garde, but like sounds like a weird word to use, but it is. It's avant-garde. You're going against the grain, and like, yeah, I just think that over time, people now will accept. Like, you know, like Scaring the Hose was like, it for me. It was like, well, yeah, of course, there was no. But you put that on paper, people should be like, what the fuck is this wild shit? But it was like it's a natural, obviously, from you and Peggy. But it was like, it made sense. And everyone wants it. They want it from you, which is a fucking cool place to be that you've worked at.
I also think just being a fan of what hip hop always stood for, and that was always originality and creativity to make yourself stick out above the pack. Like me being a fan of early hip hop in the 90s, it was so much variety and so much different shit. It was easy for me to get influenced by all these different styles and to be able to learn from all these different rappers and to be able to incorporate that into what I do today and to, you know, however I can manifest that to be my own thing. That's, you know, that doesn't compare me. Like when I first every rapper start off, you just start off rapping like your favorite rapper. I started off trying to be a Nas, you know, and then eventually you just start to grow into your own self. That's what I think is happening now a lot with these younger artists. We're hearing artists when we don't really supposed to be hearing them just because they're able to post the shit online. You know, we're hearing them learn in real time, which is great too to see their journey with it too. But if you was if I was to give you a lot of my music that I was making when I was a teenager, I'll fucking jump off a fucking building out of embarrassment, you know?
That's the
So
embarrassment to things like the barometer or the acceptance of cringe is so much wider now because people are a lot more like, this is an
yes.
art form, pushing myself, you know, people respect that more. People respect pop musicians, you know, put in the same bracket as fucking whoever. And like I think that's a cool thing with the youth is that they're not scared to like show they're trying new things and show they're pushing themselves and be fucking weird, whatever weird means.
Yeah, because that was always my thing. And I think that was one thing that always stressed me out coming up as an artist was that if I made one shitty project, my life was going to be over. And now these motherfuckers, they make a shitty project, they be like, fuck it, another one coming out in 2 months. And then people act like the one from 2 months ain't even exist. They be like, no. So I guess that's cool, but I would put my life on the line in the
I mean, I think there's something to be said for like the danger of ruining your career if you put shit out, because then it sorts the wheat from the chaff, as we say in the UK. It's like, I don't want my artists to be putting out 10 shit albums to find those two great ones. Just
Fuck
work at
no.
it. Like, I don't
As a
know.
fan, I'm not about to wait that long. I'm not about to
No.
listen to, I'm not about to go through all that to find the good shit.
It's interesting. I just, that vibration thing is kind of, I was thinking about you the other day because I was listening to, is it Mike? Is it just Mike? I think it's just
Yeah.
Mike. And I was
Mike.
like, it would be sick if Danny Brown did a track with him. I was like, oh.
I do.
I was like, no, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, when so like you gravitate towards people, like for anyone watching this who doesn't know Danny or Mike, they don't sound anything alike. But I was like, this, like, I don't know, there's an energy of the way he works with the tunes and like,
Because Mike is an amazing writer. Like, I feel like one of the greatest poets of we got going right now. Like, I don't, like, you know, yes, he's a rapper, but if you just looked at what he's saying, that shit is like poetry, man. So I look at him like a fucking novelist, like, you know, and I respect anybody pen like that, because that's what I am in the truest form as a songwriter and a writer in general. So I tip my hat off to him.
Yeah, it's just interesting the way people gravitate, you know. And I'm in my 40s now as well, and I don't know, you just look around and you're like, fucking hell, all the things that brought me up, like you manifest them. If you work hard and you just do what you love and you don't fucking do stuff that, you know, panders to what other people want, you end up surrounded by people that brought you up, that you look up to and you love. And you're like, fuck, I'm now like, you know, working with Danny Brown. And like, do you know what I mean? But you know what I mean? It's like that, I think it's that vibration thing is a really cool thing to try and manifest, you know, when you're just in a room full of people and you know you shouldn't be there, there's a reason for that feeling. And when you're in a room
Yeah.
full of people you think you should be in a room with, is that you should embrace that too. There's vibrations. We're all fucking radiating something.
Yeah, you just can't escape that shit. We've all had that. Where you've been, like you said, you've been around certain situations and you just get this feeling, man, like, ugh. And I guess me, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of an introvert. Like, I don't care about going out and partying and I mean, I'm 44 years old, so obviously I shouldn't be caring about shit like that. But I don't know, man. I've always been a person that could just stay to myself and not really have to do too much, you know? So that's why it wasn't so hard for me to move to Texas, you know? Cause it's very slow paced out here. Now I'm in fucking hill country, you know. It's like fucking 60% over 60 live here. I'm like, I'm the young guy on the
Really?
block, you know. It's like a retirement. It's like a
Sick.
retirement area, you know. So it's and I definitely feel like just living here is about to just put more years on my life, because it's the healthiest I've been in my life.
Sick. That's cool. I think like one of the things I realized when I sobered up was that I wasn't a night owl. I think I just spent 25 years convincing myself that I was a night owl. So
Who you telling?
I was just,
I'm in
go
bed every night at 9 a.m., bro. I mean,
on.
9 p.m.
Nine.
Yes, I'm up at 5 a.m.
Ah, oh, there you go. I mean, it's like, it's what a feeling.
But I always was an early riser, to be honest. So, like, regardless to what, if I, but I used to only sleep 4 hours a night when I was getting high and shit. That was like my normal for me was 4 hours.
Jesus.
Even when I wasn't getting high and doing shit, it was just like normal, you know, 4 hours. So once I got sober, it was hard for me to sleep, man. Like, because I was always used to just passing out, you know
Yeah,
what I'm saying? So I had to relearn how to put myself to sleep, which is crazy.
it's probably not the only thing you had to relearn, you know. Teach
Yeah, I
your
had to
body,
relearn
learn
how to
it.
make music. Shit.
Did you have that? Did you have that thing where like you just suddenly like maybe getting fucked up was one of your tools?
Yeah, until it wasn't anymore. It's just like using
Yeah.
steroids, you know? Yeah,
Right.
it's like a performance enhancer until you overdo it, and then it doesn't work no more. And then
Yeah.
it's just making everything shittier, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, to be honest, man, the last two albums, I'm lucky they are good as they are.
Right. I mean, that's interesting. I was, because I like, no matter how fucked my life was or how fucked I was, I stopped drinking or doing anything before shows, maybe like 10 years ago.
Oh
Because
shit.
I was messing up bad. Like, I was
I
quite
mean, yeah. I used to get
punchy.
so fucked up, I would literally forget whole songs on stage. Like that was when it was like, oh yeah, it's over with, man. You gotta go get some help, you know?
Well, welcome back, brother.
Hell yeah, I'm happy to be back, man.
Well, I guess that's a good, what do you call it, segue into why you're here. So this podcast is about creative language. Basically, I want to encourage people to make, because as you well know, making whatever it is, finding yourself and trying to connect yourself to the universe in whatever way possible may fucking save your life or someone else's. And so I just thought, like, whether it's like painting or singing or fucking cross stitch, it doesn't matter. If it's something, it's better than nothing. So I just wanted to, instead of doing one of these podcasts, like, how do you do shit in the mechanics of that? And like, you know, what supplements you take in the morning and fucking what plugins you use. It's like, it just why? Like, why do we do it? And what gives us that purpose? What gets us up in the morning, five or six? So I wanted to just run through some questions and see how you feel. And then that's it.
Yeah,
Cool.
fun card.
Great. All right, first question. How would you describe your creative language?
My creative language. What does creative language mean, really?
Well, that's a good place to start, Danny. Do you want what I would say mine is and where it comes from? Like, obviously, quickly, it's not a fucking podcast about me. So mine would be my creative language, the way my dad brought me up as an artist. It was to like, was you get up in the morning, you figure out what you love, and you make it, and you just put it out there, and hopefully will act as a mirror to other people. I mean, he didn't teach me that, but he taught me to get up in the morning when you find something you love and just fucking do it. Because if you're lucky enough to find that thing, that's the gift. It doesn't mean you're gonna be rich from it, but fuck me, you are richer than any rich man. If you got up in the morning excited about doing something for the love of it, that's a gift. So that was like the motivation of like finding something. I found music quite late. I was like 24 or something. I don't know. But like my creative language is, I guess I'd say I'm a cheerleader. It's all about love, and it's all about making people feel like they're not alone and connected to the universe. It's exactly what my mate said that he did it for this morning. And yeah, it's just that. Like my creative language is I guess to be as vulnerable and open as possible. Just put all my horrible stories of my life out there so people can use that as a mirror. You know, it's not about my story, it's about their story. As soon as it's out there, it's not mine. And just to make people feel connected.
Definitely the same as you, similar, a lot of similar in that. But also now I feel like more, I guess being like a elder statesman, like I'm like that unc status now. And I feel like you said, when I started out making music, it was me trying to figure out and do new shit that I ain't never heard nobody else do. And after doing that shit for over 10 years, now I'm starting to have artists come up that has been listening to me and been inspired and influenced by me and starting to, you know, I guess the music that I heard in my head, I didn't have the skill set for really. So I would seek it out and help it. The shouts out to Paul White. That was like my number one, like my spirit animal and making music type shit, you know? So now you got these kids that have came up on me and they're making fucking incredible shit. So I'm being like a proud, like my job is done. I changed hip hop now. You feel what I'm saying? Like now I got this crop of kids that are understanding, like Like I say, it was just a drop in the water when I was doing it, and now they're creating fucking lakes and fucking oceans, you know? So it's just me being that OG to be around them and give them that advice for them to, for them not to make the same mistakes that I did, and just be that, you know?
I guess laying the foundations, even with mistakes, is more impactful and creates bigger ripples than making something that's seemingly perfect, because then everyone just thinks they can't do it.
Yeah,
You know what I
exactly.
mean? I think
Yeah.
your the way your music comes across is something so fucking honest. I think because of the nature of your like your art is quite left field or whatever. It makes people it kind of like you say, it puts it on steroids. People see it and they see the fucking brutality and they see the storylines behind it. It's more vivid that way.
Yeah,
It's
and also it was a form of therapy for me at that time. I don't think it's possibly go get some fucking real therapy now, you know what I'm saying? But I would put things in songs that I would be afraid to talk to my friends or family about. And you know, and people would hear that shit and be like, oh, I didn't know he's like, you know. So yeah, it was definitely a form of way to get shit off my chest that I probably w was too, I don't know, too scared to talk to people about. And that's crazy. You don't want to talk to people that have known you your entire life, but you'll just put it out in front of the entire world. But that's like some oxymoron shit.
But isn't that fascinating? The amount of people I've spoken to that are like that. Just sitting down with I can't imagine sitting down with my dad, like who I'm very close to. Like he's a good man and I love him and I trust him and shit. But there's just certain things I just couldn't say to him, but I could definitely put it in a song.
Definitely.
And isn't that fascinating?
I totally agree with you. I mean, I guess that's the talent we have too. That's also, and I also look at it like, 'cause like me even putting that stuff into music and putting that stuff out there, it definitely gravitated to a lot of people and helped them with it. So, and that was something that I didn't really, I can't say that I knew what happened, 'cause I was just putting all my fucked up shit that I was going up through as just a way for me to, you know, to get my, get up, like an escape, you know? So for people to hear, to not hear me like glamorizing that lifestyle and to hear the pain in it and what I was going through in it and to be able to get help for themselves too. That's amazing to me, man. I get people hit me up all the time, be like, man, Trice the Exhibition changed my life and shit like that, you know?
And mine.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. That's it. Like, with all that in mind, what would you say? However you see this, you don't have, it's not this, it changes from person to person. What is your most accomplished piece of work? Like whether that's, some people might see it as like honest, the most honest, or the most successful monetarily, or the most successful, like, because it was the most progressive thing they did, the furthest away from their comfort zone, or it might, whatever it is, the most comfortable thing they've ever done. That's whatever it is, but something that you find is the most accomplished for you
I
personally.
mean, personally, honestly, it's a mixtape that I made. It was called Detroit State of Mind Part Two, and the reason for that because I had went to jail, right? I was going to New York all the time, and as things were starting to happen for me, I was, you know, I was making meeting the right people that possibly one day I could, you know, possibly get a situation and then. But I always had these warrants for when I was in the streets and shit, and just end up getting caught back up in Detroit, end up having to do a year in jail. But after I did that year in jail, I had got out and then I went back to New York to go to the studio that I always used to record at. And when I got there, you know, got the, you know, did the same shit we used to do when I was there, like it was nothing normal. And I remember just sitting down with the beats and trying to write songs and I couldn't write for nothing. Like I couldn't, like I felt again then because I had got out and I was only gone for a year and I started hearing all the new music that I didn't hear when I was gone. It was just like a fucking mind fuck. It was like time had moved so fast. And it was like I had to catch up. So I was sitting in the studio and I'm trying to write shit. I'm trying to come up with shit and I couldn't. And the reason why I couldn't is because I was, like I say, it was a mind fuck and I was trying to be cool. You know, I was trying to write some dope shit. I was trying to write the most craziest shit I could think of and impress people. And I couldn't think of shit. And I remember damn, I was crying. I literally cried in the fucking studio and I just said a prayer. And it was like a voice or something told me, like, man, just be honest, man. Just be honest. And then I just started just writing from a honest point of view, and that's that mixtape. And And ever since then, I've just been writing from an honest point of view.
Amazing. What year were you inside?
2007.
2007. Fucking hell. That is really when things started changing. I mean, you were at the forefront, maybe like 2012, where like I noticed, because I was a hip hop DJ at the time, where I noticed everything just like went up a notch, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Suddenly there was all this shit coming through 2012 to like 14. It was like a revolution happened of one, the caliber of work that was coming out, like as in big releases and albums and stuff, but just the way it all changed. And I remember that 2007.
I mean, you gotta look at it like the floodgates had busted open at that point. It wasn't music wasn't dictated by what major labels and shit put out at that point. Like, it was a time, a motherfucker can post something on the internet and people would see that it's just you posting your mixtape and they might not check it out. And the times have changed where motherfuckers, you ain't know, and it was shit was blowing up right in front of your face of just some kid making something in his bedroom. And so I think, yeah, that's when it just the floodgates had broke open, man. It went from blog rap to just the Wild Wild West. Because before, you needed a blog to post you needed some cool tastemaker to say something about you. And I feel like that's when that shit stopped, when it was just like, no, I'll post that shit. And just if you post it, they will come. So honestly, the audience got more open-minded to where they was receiving the content, to be honest.
I can't wait to listen back to that now and listen to it with a different, I guess, different ears. Sick.
See,
I
now it's
wasn't
just
expecting you to say that as your most
no,
advanced
now
script.
it's too crazy. Now we oversaturated with music.
Yeah. What?
Now music is starting to look at it's like it's not even like a form of entertainment. It's almost like a background thing. There used to be a time where an album come out, you and your friends, you sit around and you put that shit on, you listening to that shit like a movie.
You
It's
pay
almost damn near
attention.
like how people used to fucking back in the fucking days, they used to fucking watch TV by listening to the radio, fucking listening to fucking John Wayne cowboy stories, but they listening to it on the radio, and then the TV came out and it was no more fucking, listening to that shit no more. That's kind of what music is starting to go through, especially when you're seeing like that fucking new Quedeca project fucking blew my fucking mind away. And people
Which
putting
project?
fully it's Quedeca Vanisher.
I
It's
don't
a
know it.
fucking full movie to it. And that's what I'm talking about. That's one of the kids I feel like I'm actually on a project, so of course I'm gonna shout it
Sick.
out.
I'll check it out
But
after
that's what I'm
this.
talking about, where these kids are fucking taking it to the next level,
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like the value of things. One of the, I'll ask you this question after, but like the value of shit, you know, obviously, if you went and got an album, like in 2000, like cunts don't realize how, like, that's £15. That's like what, $18. You're going in with your fucking, with your like, you know, I worked in a supermarket, I work supermarket money, like looking at all these new releases, like I'm gonna have to go with which one looks the sick, you know. You can't listen to the CDs, it's not like vinyl shops and shit, so you're like, I just have to go with the best album cover. And like hope that, that my fate, like my favorite artist from last year hasn't just made a shit album.
Not even that for me, it was actually just getting the actual information. Like, I had a Blockbuster video that was like 3 miles from my house, and I would literally walk there with maybe like $5 just to go buy a magazine because I didn't know what was going on with hip hop, or even just go to the. I lived like one shot from the mall, and I can just, get bus fare, and I can go to the mall, and I can just go into a Sam Goody and look at the wall and see what dates the releases come out, and then go over to the new releases section and put the headphones on and listen. And dude, I would literally do that and then just go back home. Didn't even have no money to buy the album.
Is it that thing as well? Like, you just remind me, like things like, we used to have this magazine in the UK called Hip Hop Connection, and like, so I'd read that and you'd start to like n know and trust certain journalists, because you'd be like, last time you said that was a fucking four mics. And that was not four mics. You're a fucking
No,
liar. I'm not
no.
trusting that guy. No, you know, no one trusts anyone on the internet anymore. You know, like, you know, there's not many voices in critic critical writing and music and film and shit where you're like, I really trust that person.
Me,
Like,
honestly, I just go with overall consensus, and I just go off what the complete Metacritic score says, I guess, instead of just what one person says, you know.
yeah.
But at this point where I'm at in music, sometimes shit, if certain artists get like a low review, that make me want to go check it out even more. Cause so after time I'll be like, no, y'all don't get
Yeah,
it.
yeah,
Y'all
yeah.
because I'm at the point now I'm older than a lot of these motherfuckers that's reviewing these albums now at this point. So my musical knowledge is way vast compared to theirs. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck
So
yeah, you we've
that
done our time.
and I think that's what we're struggling with at this point, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird one, right? Like this that think oversaturation is the right word, Danny. It's like there's a lot. It's like I don't know who to trust anymore. And like it is my own ears, and I've always trusted my own ears. I like it's, especially now you access to shit. I don't have to tell someone. Like people ask, "What's your favorite album you've heard this year?" I'm like Bob Seger. I didn't know who Bob Seger was until like 4 months ago. He's changed my
Oh,
life.
wow.
You know, I'm
That's
like
crazy.
fucking. What's this? What's the album? I don't even know what it's called. Stranger in Town. I was like, this fucking album's unbelievable. And it's like, that's all right. You know,
Yeah,
like
that's
it's
dope.
not like who fucking. I don't know. I'm not gonna pretend I like shit anymore. I stopped that.
No,
I stopped that in my fucking
I
ten,
think it's not
twenty.
much like the hard part with the oversaturation is to sit with a project when something's when five just hit. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, we have to go to these shops or go stores and fucking buy a fucking album, and you wasted your $10 on it. This is your newest album you got. You got it. So you might listen to it the first time, and be like, I don't like this shit. I wasted my money, but you bought it, so you got to try it again, and you got to give it
Yeah.
another shot. You got to get it. And now we don't really do that because it's too much. So you might hear an album, and you might be like, it was all right, but it's really better than that if you really sit down and gave it some time.
What's the first, just as a segue, no, sidestep. What's the first album that you kind of listened to that like reviews not really important, but like other people that you knew were like, this is not it, and you're like, this is fucking. This is incredible.
For you, but me being in the States, it was Boy in the Corner, Dizzy Rascal.
Really?
So now imagine me, everybody at this time, they listen to Kanye, they listen to 50 Cent, and here I come with Dizzy Rascal. Like, no, this is the shit. This is the
Yeah.
future. This is it. And they was
No.
like, no, this is you are fucking saying this shit sounds like video game beats with a fucking I
Yeah,
can't
yeah.
understand what he's saying. Like, is he Jamaican? Is he what is this? So, but I knew it. I'm like, no, this and that album changed my life. That changed my entire style of rapping and the way I looked at rap. Like, I still try to fucking rap like Dizzy to this day, you know?
Yeah, I've noticed on some of your stuff you use like definitely grind flows is sick. Yeah.
You know, the new album is filled with fucking grind flows. I
Sick.
feel like I mastered them now.
Magic. Yeah, I don't like it's interesting when I watched that. Did you see that series? Probably not. It's probably like a UK tourist thing. There was a series, I think it was on Netflix. And it was like hip hop, but it was like each episode was a different area of the States.
I've seen that.
And I just didn't I obviously I knew it was a regional thing, like obviously, but I didn't realize how fucking wild that is and how like you like a lot of people just wouldn't venture outside. They wouldn't listen to shit outside, you know. Someone from Chicago is not listening to even something like in Detroit. It's not even that close,
No,
you know.
I wouldn't say that. I would say it was more so just the East Coast and a West Coast thing,
Oh
because
yeah.
us in the Midwest and the South. But I would say us in the Midwest, we didn't really have no artists to really, like, you get what I'm saying? So we listened to everything. Now,
Yeah.
obviously, the culture in the South, that music represents the lifestyle out here. Same with the East Coast, same with the West Coast. So us in the Midwest, we was like getting everything. Detroit didn't really have a really established rapper for Eminem. And it was so you had a lot of local rap in Detroit. Which is crazy about Detroit local rap because the style of rap that people hear from Detroit that's really popular now, that they've been doing that since the early since like the 90s. So it's great to see that genre of rap, that
Really?
style of local Detroit rap that they created, the kids stuck to it and that you know, that's almost like culture. They stuck to it and now they're doing it fucking 20 years later and it and they making fucking blowing up, selling records doing it. So I
Yeah,
fucking love that, you know.
that's it. I think it's a weird thing, just the geography of it. You know, when people come to our show and they're like, "Yeah, I've driven 8 hours to come see you guys," and you're like, "That's like the length of my country. That's fucking insane."
That is.
And then you think about it, it's basically Europe. You know, it's like it's fucking huge. So because of that, I think spread different things spread, and some things just never spread. And like, because I never got the UK rap scene. I obviously grew up in it. Like I listened to hip hop since I was like 10 or something. But the UK rap scene was always just a bit, it just felt like it was like loads of MCs trying to be conscious and trying to be like, "We're not from the US." And it was just an obsession about like, you know, the jealous cousin. It's like, yeah, we get it. You're not from the
No, I get
US.
it. I totally get
But
it.
like, and then the grime thing happened, or Garage happened, which came from, I want to say, was it Chicago? No, that's House. Anyway, Garage came from the US and just changed everything, and then grime came from that, I guess. And it was like fucking electric, because suddenly
It
there was
was
something like
one good UK rapper I used to listen to back in the day. Clash Nicole. I love Clash Nicole.
Kalashiras Klanekov. Yes, he's
I love
incredible.
Clash Nicole. See, that's what I'm saying. So
The
they did have
Saga's
Clash
off
Nicole.
that album's fucking mate. That's really cool. Yeah.
I told you, man, my hip hop knowledge is vast, man.
Of course, of course. Yeah, Kalashnikov. I think he lives near Bristol, where I live.
Oh,
I think
really?
so. Yeah, I think because there's these guys from, I think they're from Bristol, called Aspects. You probably don't go there. That Bubba, one of the guys in it, I think is a hypnotist now, a hypnotherapist. Anyway, so I was chatting to this guy who knows him as like a DJ in the area. And he was like, "Yeah, I was talking about Kalashnikov. He was like personal trainer, and we used to listen to a different album every time. And when we both went, Kalashnikov, sick. We played it. It was, I was like, this is honestly one of the best UK albums, and it's definitely underrated in this country. Like massively underrated. He's incredible MC. But yeah, it turns out he lives in, I think he lives in Milton Keynes or Weston Supermare. I think it's Weston Supermare. It's like this really weird seaside town. It's like, it blew my
Also,
mind. Like, it's
like,
like, what the fuck is he living there?
I would say the new UK guy that I think is doing something cool is Jarnino.
I don't know him.
Yeah, he's
What's
doing something really cool.
his name?
I think it's Jwino.
Okay, Janina. Cool, check it out.
Yeah, he got a little Mike Skinner in him, which that's what I love.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Is he from Birmingham or is he in London?
I don't know where he's from, actually,
Right,
to be honest.
Janina. I can't check it out.
But I feel
I
like that was
get.
the last UK rap album that I really, really love.
Yeah, do you like? I've bought the one, Send Them Back to Coventry. That fucking album's sick.
Ooh, who's there? It started. What is?
Fuck, hold on, I can Google it. Actually, no, I've got a tech guy, Phil. This is gonna be in every episode now. Like, I never thought I'd be that guy. It was asked, Phil, who did Send Them Back to Coventry?
Send him back to Coventry. Let me ask my
Oh,
my group.
Pasalu. No.
Yeah, Pasalu, Pasalu.
Pasalu,
That is who
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. And
I
that
love him
track,
too. Yeah, I love him too. He's amazing.
unbelievable. And the track he did with Backroad G, My Family, come on, that blew my mind. But yeah, I mean, it's just what that is one of the things of the oversaturation. There's incredible shit coming from all angles,
Yeah,
but also loads of crap in between.
that's why I hate when people are always just sitting around talking about, music sucks now and this and that, this and that. I'm like, you're just not really a fan like that because it's classics coming out every year just based upon how much music is fucking coming out. You just gotta fucking go through the needle in a haystack. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is, to find that diamond in the rough, man. And I've been, to me, honestly, like the last, since I've been really sober and been back having fun making music, I've been finding fucking amazing albums every fucking time I wanna, every time I need some inspiration, something to just be like,
I mean, you obviously, as a Nas fan, you probably were into jazz before.
I didn't get into jazz till COVID.
No. To what?
To COVID, like during all the
Oh,
lockdown shit,
yeah.
I really got into jazz. I guess I was really that depressed. And I don't know, something about cocaine, alcohol, and jazz. They go together.
It's a known concoction, yeah. But like fucking yeah, because I only recently started listening to jazz maybe like 6 months ago, and like it just never clicked before. You know, every time I heard a track, I was like, "It's fine." Maybe like the Basquiat soundtrack or something. I was like, "Oh, that's kind of cool," but like it's just nothing grabbed me, and then suddenly it grabbed me, and now I'm like, "I get it now." Not all of it, definitely not all of it, but like some of it just fucking absolutely changes my life when I hear it. I'm like, because it's new, it's like a new language. Do you
I
ever
looked at it,
like,
it's like a soundtrack for what you got going on. And it could just make you feel like the coolest person in the fucking world when it hit right. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, jazz is like, I used to just drive around listening to fucking Bitches Brew.
That's one that I listened to because obviously like I was like, oh, I like jazz now, so I listened to it and I was like, I'm not ready for that yet. I didn't get it.
No,
It's
you
probably
got
a cultural thing as well, because like a lot of the
yep.
stuff around it, like I never really understood funk. I would, like, you know, I
It's just some
just
black shit. That's all it is. You're right. It's some black shit.
And
That's why I
like,
get that one.
because like I don't know, like there's certain albums like, what's it called? The Chicago, the Illinois concert by Eric Dolphy. He's like John Coltrane's arranger, so he's kind of like, it's just fucking incredible, man. But it's easy. It's not like, you know, it's not pushing me sideways. It's not pushing and pulling. But like, it's just absolutely, God bless the child. That tune, man, is just like, it's like heaven. It's like heaven. And I
I
think
mean, I
when there's
obviously feel like us as songwriters, we obviously gonna gravitate more to songwriting based songs. So for us to even just get into jazz, I feel like that's just us progressing in our musical knowledge in some type of way, because it has to help based on the time signatures and stuff like that. I mean, my first instrument, well, the only instrument I really learned in school was trumpet. And I can definitely say, because I used to get the trumpet solos, and they would be like, you know what I'm saying? It kind of rap like how I used to fucking play those trumpet solos in the fifth grade. So it definitely something connects that way, you know?
Have you got any recordings of you doing trumpet when you were a kid?
Fuck no. Fuck no.
Oh, that imagine full circle getting that on a record.
It was one of those things where I mean I love doing it, but then once I got like in middle school and shit, like I was getting teased and bullied about that shit. So I was
Yeah,
like,
of
fuck
course,
that.
yeah. Trumpet's not cool.
Walking around with the trumpet case of getting me jumped on, man. This shit gotta stop. So
Yeah, you're asking for trouble, to be honest, when you're playing the trumpet. Do you know? You're fucked. You're fucked. Cunt's fucked when he's
yeah.
got a trumpet case, man.
But I wish I would have stuck with it.
Yeah, well, you did.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That was some gangster shit, though.
Exactly. Now he's laughing, you trumpet
All
fuckers.
right.
All right, so as a just coming from what we were saying, like I won't drag this out too much longer because you've been fucking amazing and honest, and I really appreciate your time.
No, thank you, man. Honor, man.
What would you say as an artist and like everything you've done, what your worth is and how you'd like to be remembered?
But my, I don't think worth, I don't know, worth is, it's like
It
a
always
crazy
gets people's
word.
back. Yeah, everyone's back gets
Like,
up when they say,
worth is a
what is your
crazy
worth?
word. But I don't know, just like I said, man, I want to be the one that, you know, laid the foundation for rap music being accepted just like every musical genre. Because people always look down on rap music like it's such an easy thing, or not really looked upon as like a actual, like, people playing instruments, and all they do is just sample, and it's you not really need a talent to be a rapper kind of thing. And it's just like now you're seeing people like that fucking Quebec album and shit like that. Like, shit is going to the next level where you gotta respect fucking rap music just like every other fucking genre. And I just think, just if I'm mentioned among one of the ones that helped spearhead that, I'm good.
Well, thank you very much for all you've offered
Thank you, man.
to fucking all right, one last question. Death Row Dinner, what is it?
Death or dinner?
Death Row Dinner.
Oh,
What
my
would your
death row
last meal
dinner?
be?
To be honest, I wouldn't want a last meal. I would want a fast. because they say you shit on yourself when you die. And
Oh.
I just don't even want to embarrass myself in my death.
Okay, we'll change the question.
So nothing. I'm a fast take.
What's your favorite, gun to your head, favorite meal?
Chicken gizzards and livers.
Really?
Fried from Mr. Owen's liquor store.
You're a twisted man.
Yeah,
I can't
it's
wait
when I
to
was a
try that.
kid. When I was a kid, I grew up down the street from this liquor store called Mr. Owen's, and they used to make fried chicken livers and gizzards. You can buy a pound, you can buy half a pound, you can buy a mix. You can just buy gizzards, you can just buy livers. But I was raised on eating that shit,
Yeah.
and they had a different recipe to how they made they shit. And then they shut down, I want to say maybe early 2000s, and I never had chicken livers and gizzards
Oh shit.
like that ever again. I'm every now and then I find a spot that sell them and I get them, and it's never like that shit when I was a kid. So if I can just get some Mr. Owens chicken gizzards and livers one time,
Next time.
I can tap out with some hot sauce and some crackers straight out the aluminum foil.
All right. I see, that's the kind of thing where I'm like, oh, I want to try that now. But you're like, there's no, it's that
I
one
mean, I
spot.
still get it when I go. I still, if I see it, because I love that shit. Out
Is that a
here, actually,
Detroit? Is
though,
that a Detroit thing?
I think it's more of a Southern thing, to be honest. He
Southern,
just
right?
was from the South. Because a lot of people from Detroit are from Alabama, Arkansas. And I
Yeah.
was in, hold up, when I was in, I think it was Alabama. I might have been in Alabama, and that was close. It
Yeah.
wasn't like his, but it was close. So maybe that's the Alabama thing, the way
Right.
they cook them, because I think you got to marinate them for mad long for them to get this. Because usually they real chewy and tough, almost
Yeah.
like a steak. But the way Mr. Owens would make them, they was like butter, like it would just melt in your mouth, like almost like how a liver pate would be,
Yeah.
but it's fried.
Right. Well, shout out to Mr. Owens.
Hell yeah, Mr. Owens, man.
I
Oh, my
would
bad,
try.
my
Go
girl
on.
just coming home and she was like, "You want something to eat?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, I do." So I started looking at this menu. My bad.
No, all good. Thank you so much for your time, bro.
Thank you.
And hopefully I'll see you next time I'm in the United States of America.
Hell yeah. Let me know, man.
Yeah, I
Anytime, dog.
will.
Hit me up. I'm pulling up.
Yeah, well, we're in the States for 2 weeks in September supporting Deftones.
Okay. Oh, just let me know. I will pull up. I'll fly out. It don't matter where y'all at.
That would be
That would be
magic.
great. Yeah, I'm definitely down that.
And then maybe talk about getting on a record together.
Yes, definitely.
I've got some ideas cooking.
Hell yeah, let's get it. I'm
All
ready,
right.
man.
Well, thank you, bro. So much love to
Thank
you.
you. Hell yeah.
Be good.
Hell yeah, man. Have a good one, bro.
See you soon.